Aren't you glad today that He loves us? His overwhelming love and grace and goodness. Proverbs 29 verse 18 says, this is King James Version, where there is no vision, the people perish. Where there is no vision, the people perish. Without a vision from God, one translation says, redemptive revelation, people perish. That group perishes. I want to read some stats about the North American church, and they're not very good, so brace yourself. Only about 20% of the 367,000 North American churches operate with some kind of a strategic mindset. By that, I mean they have values, a mission, vision, and then they have a strategic plan to carry those things out. So one out of five churches. So it should be no shock to us that 80% of our churches, which are they average around 75 people, 80% of our churches have either plateaued, meaning they've stopped growing, or they're in decline. I've heard this, that 50 churches a week close their doors. Churches tend to peak by their 20th year. We're in our 17th. Few churches make it to the 100-year mark. Susie and I were married at Sacred Heart Church in that building in downtown, and that congregation's no more. Building's there, but the people are gone. That church does not exist. And I was thinking about the 20% that have a strategic plan. How many are focused on the Great Commission? We talked about that, what the Great Commission is making disciples and then reaching people with the gospel. Well, of the 22 million evangelicals in the United States, only 7% have been trained in evangelism. 7%. And then only two. Now, we're just not talking about the whole body of Christ, which I don't know the numbers of that, tens of millions. We're just talking about the evangelicals now, 22 million. 7% have been trained in evangelism. Only 2% have led someone to Christ. And they don't even give statistics for those that have had a miracle, have prayed for miracles or gotten someone baptized in the Holy Spirit. They don't even record that. So I'm assuming that's less than 2%. Now this is the most difficult for me, because you don't always see this, and you know, we go about our lives and don't, you know, we have to leave it to the people doing the research. But it says depending on the area, 60 to 80% of people in North America are unchurched. They're not in church. Now it's a little higher here in the South, but 60 to 80%. So today, we'll just say it's lower. 60% of the people in the Augusta area, they're not in church. And it's amazing when we've, you know, been on the streets and we've met people, how many people that say they're a member of a church, so they're on the rolls of that church, but they don't attend church. Maybe Christmas and Easter. So, I mean, these are not good numbers. And so what we're saying here is the church is not, in North America now, as different other parts of the world, the church is not expanding, it's not growing. It's either plateaued or declining. And we can be deceived because we maybe see the mega churches or some of the bigger churches, and it seems like they've got a lot of people. But so many times, all of the people they've got were just from another church. They weren't necessarily people they won on outreaches and people that weren't in church. We have a lot of people that transfer from church to church. So there's a high number of unchurched. So that means we're not reaching our city. We're not reaching our area for Jesus. Now, I don't think that's acceptable to God, and I don't think that should be acceptable to us. We should not be happy about that, and we should be aware of what's happening in our world. Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 2, I'm going to read this from the New Living Bible, says this, "Then the Lord said to me, write my answer plainly on tablets so that a runner can carry the correct message to others. This vision is for a future time. It describes the end, and it will be fulfilled. If it seems slow in coming, wait patiently, for it will surely take place. It will not be delayed. A vision is a picture of where you're going. A vision is a snapshot of some place in the future. We talked a few weeks ago about mission. The mission of any organization is what we're supposed to be doing. And here at Good News Church, our mission is empowering people to give life. We are a life-giving church. We are raising up life-givers. That's what we do. So a mission is what we're supposed to be doing. A vision is what the mission looks like in the future. So we're empowering people to give life. What will that look like in 5 years, 10 years, 15 years? A vision is you picture the end or someplace in the future at the beginning. Does that make sense? It's future sight. It's seeing out into the future at a place of time. This is what we're going to look like. A vision is clear, compelling, and challenging. It ought to speak to you. It ought to motivate you. It ought to challenge you. It's a clear, compelling, challenging picture of the future as you believe it can and must be. I like what Robert Kennedy said. He said, "Some people see things the way they are and ask why. I see things the way they could be and ask why not." This is a time that we need visionaries. This is a time when we need to see into the future. This is the time when we need to get God's heart. This is the time, in especially talking about North America, if our churches are declining, what are we going to do about it? Are we just going to sit here with the status quo, or are we going to do our part? Are we just going to talk about the problems and not bring the solutions? I believe that we should have vision. I believe that we should have solutions. I believe that we should have answers. So what are we supposed to be doing? I mentioned that here at Good News Church. We're empowering people to give life. And you can look at that message online. It's called One Mission. Get a copy of the CD from the Resource Center. So what does our mission look like in the future? Let's put that to the vision of Good News Church up there. This is our vision. This is where we're going. This is what we see. This is our future. We see a community of believers strongly connected to God and to each other, empowered by the Word of God and the Holy Spirit to be able ministers, reaching their worlds and beyond with the good news of Jesus Christ. And guys, do me a favor, just leave that up there as I talk for a few moments. There's three main parts to this the vision, three words that are our values that led to this vision statement. It's these words are connecting. Everybody say connecting.
Connecting.
Empowering. And reaching. Connecting, strongly connected. I like that. Strongly connected to God. We desire for you to know God. We desire you to know God as your Father. We desire you to have a relationship with Him. We desire for you to be growing in that relationship. He talks to you. You talk to Him. You're a partner with Him, co-laborer, part of His family, sons and daughters. So we desire that. We see that happening. Mature believers, strongly connected to God and to each other. The second part is the more challenging part, strongly connected to each other. We know each other. We know our story. We know about our lives, and we still love each other. We know our weaknesses and still care for each other. And this is a very challenging part for any organization and any church and especially for this church, because we're a non-denominational church. If you're in the Catholic Church, I was raised Catholic. We had things divided up in parishes. Now I know they don't do it as strongly today as they did years ago, but you know, if we were living right on the line, this house may be in this parish, and the neighbor may be in that parish, we would go to this church. Because that's the parish we're in. And if I were to leave, I was from St. Paul, Minnesota, 65% Catholic. A lot of Catholics in St. Paul, Minnesota. But if I were to leave and to move somewhere else, I would land somewhere in another parish, and I would go to that church. That's just the way it is. That's what you do. Well, we're a non-denominational church. We have every type of person, every kind of background, people that are unchurched, people who just gotten saved. And not only that, we have racial diversity. We might as well just give up right now. I mean, for us to be connected is a challenge. And to come together, and then let alone come together and have a vision and have a cause. But we're working on this. We're you know, try to be a friendly place. One of our values is open arms. Is we want to be a warm, accepting, grace-filled, love of God church. Not looking down on people, not judging people. Want to help people exactly where they're at. Certainly not a perfect church, not pretending to be what we're not. Doing all we can, and we've started hospitality before and after service, just for a little, you know, an attempt to get to know somebody in a deeper way. We're moving towards some changes in our small groups, and there's other reasons for this, but part of that would be for connecting, for relationships to be formed. We're looking at, on purpose, what can we do to help the people of Good News Church? You know, Team Good News is all about being connected to each other. And it's certainly a challenge, and some days I get discouraged. You know, I don't know about you. Is there just sometimes that you feel like you just don't want to hear what's going on? I hear about some of the things that happen within this body and relationships, and it gets discouraging sometimes. But then there's other times when things are happening and you're really encouraged, where people are just going the extra mile, and things that people did to forgive each other or help each other, or, you know, that it's not blood family and still went out of the way to treat people like family. So I have hope. I have a vision. I may not always see it like I want to be, but it's the future. We're moving towards that. We're better than we were 5 years ago. We're better than we were 10 years ago. Certainly better than we were 17 years ago. And we'll get better even still this year. So connected. The next part is empowerment. And that's probably one of the easier things that we've done here. And since the beginning of this church, it's probably been a strength for us. We teach the Word. We teach who you are in Christ. We teach what you have for your inheritance. We teach who you are and what you can do. We believe that believers have authority. We believe that believers can do great things for the kingdom of God. And we like people to take charge of their lives. We don't want to do it for you. We'll help you. We'll be there for you. But we want people to stand on their own two feet and have a relationship with God and follow God and know how to pray and know how to apply the principles of the Word in their lives and to be skillful in the Word. We'll be patient with you. Sometimes people get it faster than others. But I'm willing to wait 1, 5, 10 years, whatever it takes. But we want you to be empowered. Empowered in your marriage. Empowered in your family. Empowered in your finances. Empowered in your relationships. And certainly empowered as a believer. Some of the big principles we teach, talk about living by faith. We talk about how to be led by the Spirit of God. We talk about who you are in Christ. We talk about the love of God. Your authority as a believer. We've been made the righteousness of God in Christ. I mean, so many things of what it means to our inheritance as a son and daughter of God. And we're not only empowered by the Word, but we're empowered by the Holy Spirit. We believe that the Holy Spirit comes and lives inside of us. And there's something called the baptism of the Holy Spirit where He fills us up and then He comes upon us, as Acts 1 says. And what does He come up on us for? Is to do great things for the kingdom of God. We believe that the Spirit of God enables us to do the Word, enables us to understand the Word, but enables us to be ministers of reconciliation. We believe in the gifts of the Spirit. He's got gifts for us, supernatural gifts, when needed. We believe in His power, supernatural power by the Holy Spirit, that power can flow through us and change situations. We believe that. Don't you like the way that sounds? Empowerment. So we're into empowering people here. And the third part, which really some of the statistics I read earlier, where the church has failed, is failing right now, is in the whole area of reaching. Our methods and our strategies and our plans are not working. We're not reaching our communities. We're not reaching, impacting our world with the gospel. And I tell you where we're going, you know, Europe is a good pattern for where we're going. I hate to say it, for the United States. Politically, spiritually, so many areas. We're moving that way, so many different things. There are parts in Europe where only 10% of the population goes to church. That's our destiny if we don't do something, if we don't make a change. And so we're going to have some new strategies and some new plans. And one of the things we believe here is it's the day of the believer. It's the day of the believer taking what they've learned and taking it to their world and going out there and reaching people with the gospel. It's not necessarily just outreach. We've got some outreaches coming up, but we look at outreach as practice. I see us as, you know, 400, whatever our number is here, 400 Jesuses going into Augusta bringing the gospel. That's so much more than what we can do here on a Sunday or through the radio or through the website or other different things. By empowering people. Now, one of the probably the more controversial parts of our vision is this word, because of the mindset of many religious people today. And we put in there to be able ministers. We put those words in there for a reason. We could have said believers. We could have said laborers. We could have said workers. We could have said helpers. We could have just said disciples. But we on purpose put the word ministers because of the mindset in the church today that it's only the full-time ministers that can really do anything for God. We can be in the ministry of helps, but that's really all we can do. And we can assist the full-time ministers. But we believe here at Good News Church that every believer is a minister. Every believer can minister the gospel. Every believer can be used by God. Every believer can have the power of God flow through them and change situations and circumstances. And we believe that. There's no barrier between full-time ministry and believers. And here at Good News Church, we're elevating the ministry of the believer. And God is amazing. He's opening up doors right now to take this message to the world. We'll be going in August to Fiji and Australia. And we'll be sharing these courses, the I Give Life course that we're doing for School for Life. We're going to be sharing these principles in Australia and in Fiji. Already we've got contacts there. They're already starting to call themselves life givers. Does that sound familiar? As we believe here, we've got a message not for the Augusta area. We've got a message that I believe is going to impact the world. But ministers, to be able ministers. Now I know you hear that. Some people hear it. I mean, maybe it's your first time here today. And you're like freaking out. What are they talking about, me being an able minister? I'm, you know, get me out of here. And I understand we're all at certain places and we're not going to rush this process. And we're not trying to make you into something overnight. And I know it may take time. And some people, again, they see it quicker than others. Some people maybe have more of a natural boldness or maybe more of a desire to learn certain things. But I tell you, we're willing to stick with you. If you just come. You just come and you hear. I mean, you may be in a place where your life's so messed up, you don't have a finger to lift to help someone else. Hey, I understand that. Hey, we'll get you back on course. We'll bring healing. God will bring healing. He'll get you restored. He'll get you, you know, where you need to be. But if you keep on coming and you keep on listening, you're going to grow. You're going to mature. And one day, it's going to happen. You're going to be sitting in a service. And your eyes are going to be open. And maybe you'll even shout and jump up out of your seat and say, I get it. I get it. I'm a life giver. We're willing to wait. So don't freak out if you hear the word able minister. We're talking about the vision. We have a vision. Someplace in the future. Able ministers. Reaching their worlds and beyond with the good news of Jesus Christ. Turn over to Ephesians 4. We've rejected here the whole celebrity mentality about ministry. We're not about glorifying ministers and everybody serves the pastor and everybody serves the minister. That's not what we're about. We're elevating the ministry. Now, we have honor and respect for ministers. Don't get me wrong. We had D.K. Daniel here this week from Nepal. I mean, I had a lot of honor and a lot of respect for him and treated him well. You know what I'm saying? I'm not saying we don't have. But we have a lot of respect and honor for you. As a believer, you've got a ministry. And this is what I want to see D.K. Daniel thrive. I want to see Jeremy and Jocelyn and their ministry thrive. I'm for anybody doing anything for God, but I also want to see you and what God has planned for your life. I want to see you thrive. Yes. I want to see you flourish. Amen. And our a lot of ministers have just gotten off track. It's about them. It's about what they have. It's about people serving them. We're blowing that model out of the water. It needs to change. It's not working anymore. Never did really work. Ephesians 4. We got to get back to the purpose. Look at Ephesians 4, verse 11. And he gave some to be apostles. We call this the fivefold ministry. Some, not everybody's these things, some to be apostles, prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. What's the purpose of the fivefold ministry? And see, this is where we've gotten off track. What's the purpose of what we're doing? What's the purpose of our churches? For the equipping of the saints for the work. Everybody say work. Everybody here likes work, right? The equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry. That's what we're supposed to be doing. And that's where our churches have gotten off. We're not equipping people. Mm-hmm. I don't know what we're doing. But it says here to equip. And that word equip is like setting a bone straight. It's been broken. It's like it's a word used for mending nets. Mending broken nets. So equipping is what the saint ought to be. That's what we're doing. Not what they are now, what they ought to be. So equipping the saints for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God. Are we there yet? No, we're not. Unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God to a perfect man, to the measure and stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men, cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into Him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, everybody say whole body, joined and knit together, connected, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share. We believe that everybody's got a part in this. Not everybody's going to be standing up here preaching. It says some apostles, prophets, there's some. And the fivefold ministry, I look at those as the leaders in the body of Christ. Not everybody's going to be one of those things. It says some. But every believer is to be a believer. Joined and knit together by what every joint supplies according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. And so to me, what I am saying and what I've been saying over in Australia and wherever I go and people I've been talking to, I'm calling an empowerment revolution. I'm a revolutionary. I believe this is not the only thing that needs to happen in the body of Christ, but I think it's one of the main things that needs to happen is an empowerment revolution where the believers all over the world will rise up and be who they're made to be, be who they ought to be. And if we could, I mean, how many would it take to reach the world? We had believers that are saved right now. If they would know the things that we know, I mean, we could wrap this thing up in a day. The early church reached their entire realm in 2 years. Not 20, not 200. So we've gotten off track. We've got to get back on track. We've got to be looking at how we're equipping people. I love this story here. This is what we're talking about. During the Crimean War, Florence Nightingale was passing one night down an aisle in a hospital ward. She paused to bend over the bed of a severely wounded soldier. As she looked down, the wounded soldier looked up and said, "You're Christ to me. You're Christ to me." And that's what I see as believers, is when we go out in the world, people will say, "You're Christ to me. You're Jesus. You're Jesus in my world. You bring life. You bring something. You bring solutions. You bring hope. You bring encouragement. Just your presence. Just your spirit. When you open up your mouth, words of life come forth." One definition of the word saint is someone in whom Jesus lives again. A saint. We're all saints. Turn to your neighbor and point at him and say, "You're a saint." Should we start calling each other saint? Saint Matt, Saint Terry. Saint Terry! As long as we don't let it go to our heads. Christianity is more than a moral code. It's more than ethics. It's more than being a good person. Mark 16 speaks for itself. Mark 16, this is part of what we talked about for the Great Commission. Matthew 28, Mark 16, verse 15 says, "And he said to them, 'Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will follow the evangelist.'" These signs will follow the apostle. These signs will follow your beloved pastor. I am beloved, right? These signs will follow those who believe. Do I have any believers here today? Do I have anybody here that you know you're going to heaven when you die? You're a son and daughter of God. Everybody say, "I'm a believer." Do you want me to sing that song? CZ, you need to be encouraging me. You're just telling me no on everything. "I'm a believer." Okay. Okay, right. Never saw your face. Okay, all right. These signs will follow those who believe in my name, in the name of Jesus. They will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents, and if they drink anything deadly, it'll by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. The believers. I've got a vision. I've got a dream. I can see it. I can see an army of believers raised up in every country, every city, every nation, doing the works of Christ. Second Corinthians 5, verse 17. Read this a few weeks ago. Second Corinthians 5, verse 17. We told it was our theme verse here. Verse 17. It says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, anybody here in Christ today? Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Everybody say, I am a new creation.
I am a new creation.
Say this, I'm a new creature with new features.
I'm a new creature with new features.
You need to remind yourself that. I'm going to be 50. I need to keep on saying that. New creation. All things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now all things are of God who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and given us, who? Given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. When you're an ambassador, if I am an ambassador for another nation, I represent that nation wherever I go. I speak for that nation. I represent them. We are ambassadors for Christ. Now, Frank is going to Korea in September. I don't want you to go, Frank. Who do I need to call? The president? All right. I'll do it. But Frank is going to Korea. He's an ambassador for Christ here in Augusta. He's also an ambassador when he goes to Korea. He represents Jesus Christ. And we've not done that. We've done a poor job. And I'll take responsibility if people here aren't seeing it. But we've done a poor job. We've just seen special people, anointed people, just gifted people. They're ambassadors for Christ. And then we have everybody else that are in the ministry of helps to serve the big shots. And we devalued the ministry of the believer so much, and that's got to change. The fivefold ministry, that whole model needs to decrease, and the ministry of the believer needs to increase. Ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. As we go out into our world, imploring people, be reconciled to God. Sometimes it's just a one-time opportunity. Sometimes we go out in the street, we may not have another shot, so we use a certain method there. Others may be family members, it may be over a period of time. Sowing seed, loving, praying for them. And that's what we talk about being led by the Holy Spirit, is to know what to do in what situations. I must not be doing a good job. I got folks sleeping today. What a vision. So compelling. I'm going to fall asleep today. That's all right. I understand. You've been working hard. But this is our vision. Matthew 9, verse 35 says this, and Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the good news, the gospel of the kingdom, and curing all kinds of disease and every weakness and infirmity. And when he saw the throngs, he was moved with pity and sympathy for them because they were bewildered, harassed, and distressed, and dejected and helpless. I mean, do you see that? Do you see that when you go out in your world? Do you see that at the supermarket? Do you see that at the gas station? Do you see that at school? Do you see that in your family? I mean, harassed, distressed, dejected, and helpless. Let me ask you a question. Is it someone else's responsibility? Is it just my responsibility? Am I the only one that's responsible for reaching out to them? Are we going to have people that will say, I'm going to do something about it? Or are we just going to sit by and let our country go to hell? Are our kids and our grandkids, are they going to know about miracles? Are they going to know about faith? What are we doing to promote the gospel? Are we on the team? Are we just out in left field? Are we spectators and watching everybody else do the works of Christ? Or are we a player? I want to be a player. And you may be sitting here, well, I'm afraid, Pastor. I've never done anything like this. Hey, I understand. Hey, let me ask you this question. All those that have gotten someone saved, have prayed with someone for a miracle, or gotten someone baptized in the Holy Spirit, stand to your feet right now. It's a little better than 2%. Now let me ask one of you that are standing here, is there anybody that can remember? Tori, come on up here. Where's our... Someone stole the microphone. That's it. The whole service is over. It was right there. Hiding right there. Just stay standing here singing. Don't you love being put in the spot, Tori?
I love it.
You love it, yeah. I had the privilege, and I don't know if you remember this, Tori, I took you out on outreach years ago. And really was one of the first times. I don't know, can you remember? I remember the neighborhood. I remember exactly where we were in Harrisburg. We were walking in the neighborhood.
We're in the suburban?
Yeah, in the suburban. Of course in the suburban. And we were walking along. We talked to some people on porches and all kind of situations. Now, let me ask you, I don't know if you can remember, but share with someone that's never done something like that. Were you afraid? Do you remember?
I was terrified. I was thinking to myself, been in this thing for a little bit. I don't really know if this is going to work. And, this person, I'm not sure if they're going to receive. And it's just all these, doubting thoughts are coming through my mind. But I stepped out in faith and I did the stuff. And God's word doesn't fail. It works. It works. You just apply faith and you do it. And you say, Paul, he talked about it several times. He acted out and he did things with trembling and fear. But the thing about it, as we step out in faith and in boldness, God won't let us, Mr. Neil used to tell me all the time, when we speak words of life, God doesn't let our words fall to the ground. It works. And I was terrified, but yet it worked. Just because of my fear and, a little bit of doubt or whatever, I stepped out anyway. I did the stuff. It's kind of like walking blindfoldedly, but I did it and it worked. So, yeah.
And so that was probably, 4 years ago?
3.5 years ago. Yeah.
3.5 years ago. And what have you seen since then?
Since then, right after that camp, right after that summer right there, recently I went back to Thompson High School, won a bunch of my friends and my old friends that I had abandoned. I won them to the Lord. I got both of my parents saved. 4 of my 6 siblings, I led them to the Lord. My mom, she's been healed quite a few times. On and on and on. And as I stepped out more, I saw more results. And it was a very, from that summer, from August, I think it was towards the end of August, we started school back. From August to October, just by me stepping out, in faith and sharing the gospel, there was over 130 people that got saved in less than, 61 days, but it was only actually 32 days of ministry. So individually, it's not to toot my horn, just to show you that it does work. You step out in faith, people will respond, people will receive. And in 32 days of ministry, in 61 days, over 130 people got saved, including my parents, including 4 of my 6 siblings. So this is not just something that we're just, this stuff actually works, So,
Well, thank God.
So probably within that, I think I saw about like, probably about like 20 people I ministered healing to, and they all got healed. And some, and one was including my mom. She always struggled with, you know, the thing about God wants to heal and stuff like that, but I worked with her more and more. And there was, you know, small little injuries. I mean, she had like knee trouble and stuff like that. Massive headaches and stuff like that. But I mean, she got healed. So you step out in faith, God will back you up 100%. It works. So, yeah.
Thanks, Tori. You may be seated. And I believe that some of that were sitting today, I believe maybe by the year end, you'll be standing when we ask them by the end of next week. I mean, we've got a lot of opportunities coming out, and we're not saying you have to be, you know, out on the streets every day, and you're going to be some guy standing on the street corner preaching the gospel and go to Walmart and start preaching, you know. We're not saying that, you know, but we have life to give, every one of us. And God's got opportunities for you. And we want you trained and ready to seize those opportunities. And it's a growing process. You do start off nervous and you don't know what to do, but then you ask questions. We've got coaches and mentors here that will help you in the process, help you grow in these things. But can you see the power of what we can do in this church as far as reaching people in this area with this vision? Can you see if we had 400 able ministers, what we could do? Sure, we've got community and things we're doing at church and friends and all that, all the things about church. But also that we realize that even on a Sunday, maybe it's just practice for what's going to happen in our work, or in our week. That we are life givers. That we are empowering people to give life. So I do. I see an army. I see a family of life givers. Now, Matthew 5, it says, going back there, it says, they were bewildered, harassed, and distressed, dejected and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. I mean, to see our city and to see the people of our city and to pray about that and to pray about the lost and to pray for lost loved ones that we have and to care. I mean, we just get so busy and so caught up in the American dream and all the different things. I mean, I know how hard it is, just life itself. But I tell you, it gets so much more rewarding when you start getting your eyes off yourself and getting your eyes onto others. And some of the problems that you've been dealing with, they'll just fall away. You won't even realize it. You get so busy working for God, these other things just fall away. And the joy that comes to see that you make a difference, to see that you have a purpose. We were taught at ORU to go into every man's world, whether you're, you know, a business person, a homemaker, whatever job you may even be full-time ministry, whatever it is, we're to go into every man's world to bring the light of the gospel and to make a difference, certainly in our homes, in our neighborhoods. And I know we're not the only church in this area. I hope we're not, but we've got to have big vision. We're going to have to ask God for His help, and we've got to have more wisdom on how to train and how to teach and how to mentor here. We've got people coming in from Colorado and Greenville, and we're really, during this Empower 2012, we're going to spend a whole lot of time on training. Come on out for some of the classes. We're going to be teaching things in ways we haven't done it before. And then we'll give you an opportunity to actually go out and apply what you've been learning. But we, you know, my goal is not, if we get thousands saved, that would be awesome. We're going to be doing a lot of outreach. But my goal is if we can have 1, 2, 5, 10 people go back to Greenville, go back to Colorado, or even here at Good News Church, mentored and trained to know how to get someone saved, it'll be a huge success. And so I'm asking, you know, for the people that have done this in the last 4 or 5 years, for you to help us here, to help us train others during this week. We need your help. I can't go out with everybody. If I could, I would. But we need people that know what they're doing, that will take the time. It takes patience. That will take the time and train other people that don't. I'm so glad I took time with Tori. I wasn't the only one, but I'm so glad. I mean, look at what's happened in his life. It was worth the answering the questions, spending time with him, showing him how to do things. And we have to have that mindset that those that don't know, and maybe they're afraid, we've got to help them, show them, teach them. like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to the disciples, the harvest is indeed plentiful, but the laborers are few. I don't want that to be true at Good News Church. I don't want it to be true that the laborers are few here. I want us to have a church full of laborers. Go and help other churches. Go to help other nations. Maybe go start other churches. Whatever. I tell you, I don't want laborers. If the laborers are few at Good News Church, I've failed. I've failed in what God's called me to do. And I'm not going to fail because the Holy Spirit is going to help me. Not going to fail. Love never fails. He always causes me to triumph. I am more than a conqueror. I have the victory through Christ Jesus. He has given me a vision. I'm going to wait for it. I'm going to say it 1,000 different ways, but I'm going to wait for it. Surely it shall come to pass. Surely it shall happen. I'm going to wait. I'm going to be patient. But I see it. It shall happen. I see it more every day. I see able ministers. I see disciples. I see life givers. I see them raised up all over the world. I see it. It may be just a few right now, but we're going to have more and more and more until Jesus comes. And it's going to be a big part of ushering in the return of Jesus. Do you want to be a part of this? Pray to the Lord of the harvest to force out. How do you do that? How do you force them out? Force out and thrust laborers into the harvest field. And then, you know, I won't read it, but I love in Matthew 10, Jesus didn't just pray Matthew 10, he sent out the disciples. We can't be just a church that prays. We need to pray. Dear God, we need to pray. We need to pray. We need to ask for big things. We need to ask for bigger things than we've ever asked before. But then we have to put feet to our prayers. We have to give God something to work with. We can't just sit at home and wait for His power to come on us. We have to step out. You have to go to that first outreach to learn. And you may just learn a little bit that first time, but you stick at it, and you're going to learn, and you're going to learn, and you're going to learn, and you'll be proficient in sharing the gospel. But then it'll be awesome. You can be proficient in miracles. You know how excited it is to lay hands on someone that's sick and see them recover? I mean, good gracious. You talk about a thrill. Or someone that's lost, and to share the gospel with them. And you know what happens? The power of God comes inside and makes the inside a new creation. They're dead on the inside, and the resurrection power of God comes and resurrects them and makes them a new creation right in front of your face. Talk about a good time. Talk about a high. Who needs marijuana? Who needs pills? Who needs Bud Light? It is awesome. So we're going to close today in prayer, but before we close, I'm going to give everybody here opportunity to know this Jesus. Every head bowed, every eye closed here today. I want to tell you, if you're not in the family of God, this is a good day to be in God's family. Because I'm telling you, God has got an awesome plan for your life. God has made you for a purpose. God has made you for a reason. You're not just existing on this earth, just getting by. God made you for a specific purpose, and I want you to find out what that plan is. But you've got to enter into God's family. You've got to be His child, His son and daughter, and you're just not that by being born into this world. The Bible talks about being born again, and it's very easy to do. It's not about joining a church. It's not about praying long prayers or memorizing the Bible. It's about making a commitment in your heart. The Bible says in Romans 10, if you believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, and if you'll confess Him as your Lord, the Bible says you'll be saved. Those that call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It's basically just calling on Jesus. Jesus, help! Jesus, come into my life! Jesus, save me! And when He does, He forgives you of all your sins. He recreates you, makes you a brand new person. Heaven, at that moment, heaven is yours. That's your eternity. That's your destiny. But I got good news. He offers you an abundant life, a wonderful plan here on the earth. Not plans to harm you, plans to prosper you. A bright future. But he's not going to make anybody become his child. You have to receive it. So if you're here today and you say, yes, Pastor, I want a new start. I want to find out my plan, why I'm here. I want to go to heaven when I die. I want to be a child of God. I want to be a son and daughter of God. I want to have my sins forgiven. I want to be born again. If that's you and you want to receive that today, lift your hand. Boldly hold it high. Say, yes, I want that. God's probably dealing with your heart today. It'd be beating real fast right now. Just hold your hand up and say, yes, I want that. Be bold. Don't be afraid. I'm not going to judge anyone. Praise God. Glory to God. You can look up here. If maybe for some reason you were afraid to lift your hand, talk to me or Susie or Kristen or Terry or Nate or someone after the service. Don't leave here. We'll pray with you. We'll receive today. You'll be a part of God's family. It'll be an awesome day for you. Let's stand, everybody. Want to pray? Let's pray about the laborers. Let's pray about the laborers. Father, in the name of Jesus, we see your heart today. We thank you that you've given us the Great Commission. We thank you, Lord, that you have awesome plan for us. But when, Lord, we know the laborers are few. I'm asking, Lord, to help us here at Good News Church to raise up the laborers. Help Jeremy and Jocelyn to raise up laborers like never before. Help the churches in Augusta in this area to raise up laborers. Show us, Father, the methods, the plan. Give us the plans. Show us how to do that in an efficient way. Raise up mentors and coaches in this church that will take time to train people, that will take it upon themselves to help others to know what they know. Father, we care about the harvest. We care about the lost in this area. Raise up laborers and send them forth into the harvest field. Thrust them. Force them. Send them in the name of Jesus. And we declare this area never the same. We declare every person in this area saved. Every person saved. Every person knows Jesus. Every person in a good church. Growing in the things of God. Lord, I believe you want to do astonishing things by year end. I believe you want to do astonishing things during Empower 2012. I believe you want to do astonishing things at this youth camp coming up. I believe you want to do astonishing things in the lives of people of Good News Church. I declare it. It shall come to pass. Show us the future. Show us things to come. We thank you. Great joy in this church. Great joy in this city. Hallelujah. We praise you. Lord, send laborers back to Colorado. Send laborers back to Greenville. Send laborers back to our high schools. Send laborers back to our businesses and our homes, Father. Help us to do that, Father. Ask all these things in the name of Jesus.